on this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Gordon Wittenmeyer, Tim Stebbins, and I discuss the Cubs hiring of Carter Hawkins as the 16th general manager in the franchise's history.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With Cubs checking, you'll score a Cubs debit card so you can show your support every time you pay. Open today at wintrust.com/cubstalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back!
Welcome in to another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, with Tim Stebbins, Gordon Wittenmeyer. I'm David Kaplan. Okay, gentlemen, so let's talk about the new general manager of the Chicago Cubs, Carter Hawkins. He comes over with a sterling reputation in the game. It comes from an organization that's done a sensational job in developing pitching, whether they acquired it, you know, in deals from other teams and then took it to another level. You can look at Tristan McKenzie, Zach Plesac, Mike Clevinger, Shane Bieber, Brian Shaw, Emmanuel Clase, Corey Kluber, and I can keep going.
Trevor Bauer.
And then position players from Francisco Lindor to Michael Brantley to Jose Ramirez. Like, there's a lot of dudes that are really good baseball players there. So do you like the hire? For me, I made a bunch of calls to people who I trust in the game. They all raved about him.
So I just want to know, Cap, did you write a letter of recommendation for this guy and give it to Jed? Is that what we're saying here? Because you seem awfully high on this guy.
I'm just laying out the argument for the things that his organization has done. I've never met the guy.
Yeah. Tim, you wrote two of the definitive pieces on him coming out of that press conference on Monday. Tell Cap what he wants to know.
I mean, I think from a baseball standpoint, it definitely makes a lot of sense. I mean, Jed Hoyer even admitted it, and it was this idea of when he was looking for a GM, like trying to strike a balance between him and his GM, and by that he means like he wanted someone to have an area of focus that, you know, he does his thing, they have their focus. And he even said, when I came up as an executive, like my thing was more like player acquisition transaction side opposed to the development side. That's where his areas of expertise were. And meanwhile, Carter Hawkins' area of expertise coming from Cleveland, as you kind of just laid out, Cap, is the player development side. So he wanted a partner. He wanted someone that would be a partner. He wanted someone that would have an area of focus. And that focus specifically would be developing players and player development. And he's obviously done, like, he's been part of a front office that they don't only develop players, they make transactions. But that was kind of where he was at.
Selling off guys.
Yeah, right. Like, we can get into that too. He talked about the Cubs trade deadline this summer and his reaction to that from a front office that notoriously sells. But yeah, I think as a baseball standpoint, it totally makes sense. And that, does that mean like he's going to come here and be the savior to the Cubs' decade-long pitching development problem? No, he even said like the secret to developing pitching is, and he got everyone on the edge of their seat at his press conference. And then he said, haha, just kidding. There is no secret. But it can't hurt. And having him in the front office is definitely an asset.
I think this guy, you know, he went to Vanderbilt. He got his degree at Vanderbilt. He also played there. He was a backup catcher there. He said he wanted to be a pro ball player. until David Price walked in the room, he said, and then I realized that ain't going to happen. But this guy is Vanderbilt's, one of those elite schools. He's a smart guy, front office dude. You know, he's player development guy. He talked a lot about processes and systems and blah, blah, blah. And it sounded like just another smart guy, Ivy League, modern day front office dude. But the flip side of that is, he did show some personality for his first time introducing himself to Chicago fans and media. Tim pointed out the one little thing. I'm just kidding. There is no secret. And he had a couple stories to tell. He offered at a moment that's probably the hardest to show it, a sign of, a kind of a personality and a sense of humor and seems like a pretty good guy. He played the game a little bit at college at a really good cutting edge college program. We'll see how all that plays out. It's, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. The complimentary thing about he's a player development guy and Jed's less of that and more of a player acquisition guy. Cool. I don't see a whole lot of other big differences between the two of them though. So it might be just kind of more of the same.
Well, we're going to find out. He went to Vanderbilt. He's a highly educated guy. I just want to know why, and Gordon and I have discussed this, Tim, before, when he was at the Sun-Times, and we weren't doing these pods yet, but we would have him on Sports Talk Live, and we would get into these discussions where he and I were on the same page. Like, we're going to be a player development machine, was the quote from Theo's press conference in November of 2011.
I still laugh at it.
You wouldn't draft Albert Almora again, number 6. You wouldn't take Schwarber, number 4, again. My dead grandmother, may she rest in peace, could know to take Chris Bryant, number 2.
You might have taken Schwarber. Who would you have taken? Conforto? Who would you have taken? Assuming you're going to take
Nola.
Aaron, in retrospect, Aaron Nola, but they weren't going to roll the dice on a pitcher.
Yeah, I'm just not sure they would have taken Schwarber, but maybe. And you wouldn't take Ian Happ, number 9 overall. And there's 50,000 freaking rounds in the draft. And they've done a very poor job at developing position players and developing pitching. Somehow, I listed all those dudes at the start of this podcast. Cleveland keeps running these guys out to throw 99, 100 starters, relievers, position players. They do a really good job. So if this guy, again, there's no magic sauce. You got to draft the right guys. But if
secret sauce, Cap.
Magic, secret, whatever. If this guy understands how to help run development and Dan Kantrowitz does a better job than they've done in their drafts, maybe, just maybe, a player development machine's coming. You just got to prove it to me.
I'll settle for a player development bicycle at this point. Just something that friggin' moves. Doesn't have to move fast. Doesn't have to move efficiently. How about just something that produces a guy once in a while that's not a 2 overall draft pick? That's what they need. And maybe I think they're onto something with Kantrowitz. He has a pretty good track record. And if they can start to develop, cool. But if you go back and look, there's a difference between scouting and player development, which is the thing that they don't do well. Actually, I would argue both. Over the last 10 years, because if you look at some of the pitching, at least on the pitching side, some of the pitching that's gone elsewhere, there's guys that have found their way to the big leagues, but none of them have been all-stars. None of them have been impact guys or lasted very long. So there is the identifying the guys in the first place, and then there's this inability to develop them.
It's funny, too. I think you mentioned at the top, Cap, Corey Kluber is one of the guys. And Carter Hawkins took over. He joined the Cleveland front office as a scouting intern in 2008, and he moved up eventually to assistant GM. Stops as, director of player development. But Jed Hoyer was in San Diego. It's October 2009, he gets hired, right? The first summer, first trade deadline running the Padres front office. Who did Jed Hoyer trade to Cleveland? Does anyone know where I'm going with this? It's Corey Kluber. Jed Hoyer traded Corey Kluber in like a 3-team deal. I think it was Jake Westbrook, that trade with the Cardinals. But That's not an indictment on Jed. I don't mean to
attack him. Sure it is. I mean, so much for that player acquisition side of things.
Well, I'm not meaning to attack Jed because of whatever the – I don't know where the Padres were that year and what that trade was. Remember,
Tim, you weren't there yet. Gordon and I are in Cleveland in 2016, and Theo says to Jed, we were all on the field, and he said, way to go, Jed. Way to trade him Corey Kluber. Now we got to beat this guy tonight. Remember that?
Exactly.
Yes. I just think, I mean, that just shows, though, like, that Cleveland, man, like, Cleveland, I mean, they go and get Corey Kluber. They got Clevinger from the Angels. So that's two guys, like you were saying, Cap, that they traded for. And kind of off a similar vein where the Cleveland front office, Hawkins is in their war room this past summer. And he told a story like, it isn't often, but there's times it's trade deadlines where there's a couple trades where everyone in the room just says, oh my gosh. And he said that happened every time with the Cubs when you see Rizzo, Brian. That's what he was alluding to, Rizzo, Brian, Baez. And he said everyone in our old front office, the Cleveland one, they rated those trades as excellent. So if a front office like Cleveland who pulls off trades like that saw the Cubs trades and they were like, oh, those were pretty good trades, especially for what the Cubs are working with where guys are on walk years. And, hey, man, maybe the Cubs can give them some more credit for what they had.
I did a little research. I knew we were going to get into some of this. So if you go back, the last two players in the playing in the major leagues from the 1984 MLB draft were both picked by the Cubs. Second round, Greg Maddux, second round. And he even said, I would never have been a second round pick today because I threw like 84 miles an hour. But he knew how to take speed off, locate, move it around, breaking balls. And then in the fifth round, they took a guy named Jamie Moyer, who was still going at like age 47. And then the next year, they took a guy in the 24th round named Mark Grace. And they took a guy, I think it was like number 16, 18, Rafael Palmeiro. Like, they were doing a really good job under Gordy Goldsberry, drafting, developing, even acquiring Ryan Sandberg in a deal. Where have those days gone?
Hey,
that was when they weren't even spending big money.
Take it another generation forward, Cap, and there were injuries involved, but Kerry Wood was a great draft pick. Mark Pryor was the right draft pick. Carlos Zambrano was a hell of an international signing. They did a great job of getting some high-level impact, all-star caliber guys through their system to the big leagues. It's laughable to me that the current regime came in pissing all over the last regimes in Cubs history and laughing at them for somehow not doing what this new regime was going to do. And now 10 years later, they're bringing in a guy from Cleveland. They're bringing in Jonah Hill from Cleveland to teach him Moneyball. And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Gordon, who are the two best players from the Cubs system during their run through the playoffs?
This last run?
Yeah.
The two guys that came from the previous regime. Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras.
Correct.
Yeah. No doubt.
Brian obviously is in that discussion as well. But two of the three were here before Theo and Jed arrived.
And I'll give him credit for Chris Bryant, I've written this multiple times, is the best homegrown product, start to finish, through the system, through the big leagues, that they've produced since Greg Maddux, in my mind.
Probably right.
But he's a 2-2. He was head and shoulders the best hitter in that draft. Anybody wanting a hitter was going to take him, given the opportunity. He went number two overall, only because Mark Appel went number one overall, who was on top of the Cubs board too, as a pitcher.
And was a Houston native, so they took him.
Right. And he was a huge bust as well. But it didn't take a lot of ingenuity or imagination to decide to pick Chris Bryant, but they did, and he is that good.
So what is the first thing on their shopping list to do? They got their GM. David Ross is getting his extension. They've got to get a hitting coach. They got to get a game strategist / catching coordinator. You've got Ross. You really don't need a catching coach, so to speak, but
They're going to Napoli too.
Pardon me?
They got Napoli too.
And you have Mike Napoli as well, who's got experience there. So what is the first thing they have to do? Is it sit back and let the CBA negotiation go on, or is it jump the market and go, we're getting that pitcher?
Well, before we go down that road, because that there's going to be a lot of ingenuity and quote, intelligent spending that's got to happen. They've got all kinds of resources that, on the one hand, the ownership says, yeah, we're going to use them. We got resources and we're committed to using them. And the general manager says, yeah, well, we got to spend smartly, intelligently. He's not going to pour money into one guy, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of smart guy stuff going to have to happen there. One of the interesting elements of this hire of this GM was a year ago. It took a year to hire this guy, right? Because they left the position vacant. A year ago, Theo Epstein, before he stepped down, and Jed Hoyer, after he took over, both talked very strongly about how not diverse their front office was and how big a deal that was. And Theo took it upon himself. He looked in the mirror. He said, that's on me. I look around and I've done a poor job of hiring a whole bunch of people that look and sound and have the same education as I do. And when Jed had this opening, he talked big about it's important that we diversify our front office. And then they didn't. So is Carter Hawkins the right guy for this job? He might be. I don't know. He might be. But I think it's interesting. I think it's worth noting. And I think after 11 months of this opening and you land on another white guy from a smart guy school in one of these front offices that does all the analytics and stuff, I think it's telling. And I think it should make somebody pause. Like, are we actually going to see anything different? And by the way, what's with all, you know, if this was a priority, how come we just wind up with another guy that looks and sounds like you, Jed?
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So, Gordon, I just looked. Did you get the best guy? Is he black? Is he white? Is it a male? Is it a female? Just hire the best guy. Jed's been dealing with a pandemic, budget shortfalls for biblical losses, however you want to look at any of that stuff that they've, you know, talked about over there.
Hey Cap, who's the best guy? I mean, and maybe
that's for Jed to decide. For a quota, not for what's got to look this way or act that way. Wait, let me finish. If you tell me 3 years from now when Jed's had a chance to build out his front office and they all look like him, act like him, sound like him, and there's no diversity, I'll be right there with you that that's wrong. But his first hire, the one that he feels like is his chief lieutenant, I'm not going to question it because I don't know the man.
It's subjective. Whether it's a right hire or not is subjective. You know, this front office, we just talked about all their failings all these years. They haven't done jack that they promised in their farm system, their player development, their scouting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Got a guy who's good at that.
Maybe. Jason McLeod was supposed to be the rare impact scouting and player development guy in all of baseball and wasn't. Jed was supposed to be, you know, this great executive. I mean, they actually put together a champion. They did, but by devices that were no different than essentially what was used by previous regimes. In fact, two of the huge players, as you pointed out, were from the previous regime. It's a subjective thing. And as long as everybody who makes these decisions looks the same and then tells you that the people they're hiring are the best people and they happen to look the same, there's no, you can't prove a negative. Like, how are we supposed to prove that this guy's the best guy or not? I got nothing against him. Look, so am I. I got white friends. I got nothing against white guys. But look, if they're all the same, then systemically that's an issue. And the fact is, he said it was an issue. He said it was important.
I was going to say this. Like, I don't – like we're saying, we don't – Carter Hawkins has a good background. And obviously, like you're saying, Cap, hire the right person, fine. But I don't think it's about who they hired necessarily. I don't know if this makes sense either, but – the conversation is the what led to this point, right? It's like a year ago, last June, Theo was talking about how his own biases and how he needs to be aware of those. And I think even Jed, if I'm not mistaken, Gordon, I think you mentioned this. Like he said, right after he got the president's job, just like this something along the same vein. And that's kind of the thing. It's about preaching diversity as a strength and how that's important for a front office. And then we get here and like, it's not anything about Carter Hawkins. Like for all we know, like he might be good. It's just the criticism is just what got to this point, I guess, like what came before. And then this is where it lands on. I think that's fair to point out.
Yeah. And I don't know, Carter Hawkins might be the next great thing in baseball. I mean, there's nothing to suggest he's a bad hire by any means. I think this is important. It's something that they specifically said was important. And yet here we are again, with no change in that way. And I think it's implausible to suggest that it's because the talent pool isn't such that you couldn't have in 11 months found a guy that was just as good, who happens not to be a white man who looks the same as everybody who came before him. That's all I'm saying. If this was that important, there are candidates you could have found that would have been extremely high caliber candidates. Look, just do the math. If only because there aren't any, very, very few in those positions now anyway.
So yeah, I'm going to give him a couple, 3 years, see how he builds out his front office. And if everyone looks like him, it's a valid criticism.
Yeah,
his first hire, I'm not going to be critical of it. I want to see. Let's see how good this guy is.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, Cap. And I don't think that this is. I don't think there's any intent, any bad intent here. I think Jed's sincere in everything he says. But I'm just saying that he said one thing and it didn't happen. And we'll see going forward. But to your other question. So now what do you do? What's next this offseason, right? Mm-hmm. How do you spend these resources that they won't tell us what the level of the resources are, and that the ownership promises will be spent, and the team president seems to be very vague about how that'll happen? What would you do, Cap?
First thing I would do is probably – I mean, I said to you guys before we started, after talking with people I trust in the game, one of whom has been a general manager, he said, I know you don't like giving these long deals, and I gave him this impassioned reason. I'm not giving anybody a 10-year contract. He said, occasionally you have to break your rule when the circumstance warrants it. He said, if you told me there's a 32-year-old guy at the top of the sport and he wants 10 years and you don't want to do it, I think you're right. But when a guy's 27, plays a premier position, can be moved off that position and over to third as he ages, and he's a great player, good dude in your room, I think you got to rethink it, especially when you have the resources the Ricketts family and the Chicago Cubs have. And that is, I'm getting Carlos Correa.
I'm with you.
I'm putting him at shortstop. Nico Horner's going to play. Hey, Nico, you're spelling Madrigal today at second, or – he's on the IR, injured list. You're playing second. Hey, you're going to be in right today. You're playing center tomorrow. You're at third. You're pinch hitting the next day. whatever it is. I'm putting that dude 150 times a year at shortstop.
Well, let's just like talk about the letter, right? Like we mentioned it, Ricketts sent out the letter to I think season ticket holders, but it's also published somewhere on their website. But he said, like, we have resources. He said the same thing. We'll be active in free agency, make thoughtful decisions, but says they have resources to compete in 22 and beyond, and we will use them. Well, what better way to use your resources than I'm Carlos Correa? Like, I that's how I take it. And like, I think there's other way to use those resources. Don't get me wrong, but if you have any way to use your resources, that's kind of where I would start. But I know that's maybe not where they're at, is Gordon. Like, I think you kind of were touching on.
Yeah. Here's a direct quote from Jed Hoyer on Monday. Free agency is valuable. Free agency is also dangerous. When you're talking about spending in free agency, there's a danger of committing a lot of years and a lot of dollars to players sort of in their decline phase of their career. I think that you always have to be mindful of that, of what the biggest value is of that contract. Well, I'm with you, Cap. I do think there are exceptions, and I think that Carlos Correa is absolutely one of those exceptions. He's not only a guy that if you believe in his health, if there's no red flags on his health, and I don't know why there would be, then he projects as well as anybody would for that. He's not just 27. He just turned 27. Next year is his 27-year-old season, which means that you're talking about a guy at the end of his contract would be 36. This guy isn't going to be 40 at the end of a 10-year contract. He'd be 36. There's no reason to think that he wouldn't still be productive. You got the DH probably coming to the National League. The guy can play.
Front load the money. You're at $40 million right now, and you're not going to win the World Series next year. Front load the first 2 years, so the last 2 years are half the price.
Where have I heard this before, Cap? Two podcasts ago when I said that.
And go read
my story on Carlos Correa. I had a conversation with him. The guy is – he's also one of the smartest players in the league. This guy was a 4.0 student in high school. He understands forward and backward the modern analytics of the game, which a lot of players, especially really good, talented players, tend to kind of dismiss. He breaks it down. He shares the wisdom that he sees in some of those modern analytics with teammates to try to say, you know, if you improve your game, if you do this and this, your WAR is going to go up. It's going to make you a better player. It's going to make you a better paid player. It's going to make our team better. What team has just qualified for the LCS for the fifth straight year? I mean, trash cans aside, the Houston Astros. And Carlos Correa is a big part of that. The guy is I think your executive friend, Cap, said the same thing. This guy checks every box. And, yes, when you have money to work with on the front end, you can make that contract look any way you want, and you can ease the pain on the back end of that in all kinds of ways.
Agreed. Tim, any final thoughts before we wrap this bad boy up?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, like, if it seems like that Correa isn't the direction they're headed, I do wonder – I mean, obviously, I'm not saying they're not going to spend. It's clear they have to fill out their roster, but I wonder – like, I look at – starting pitching, that's the key biggest area, the biggest need. I kind of wonder what that means in that regard. Like, I don't think Scherzer was ever something anyone would have said is realistic. Where he's at in his career, he wants to win, I'm sure. We talk about Robbie Ray, Gausman might stay in San Fran, Stroman, Rodon, like that. From there, though, I mean,
nobody thought Blake Snell and Yu Darvish were getting traded a year ago at this time. So perhaps there is a guy like that where you've added to the depth in your farm system. You take a few of those guys and go, I'll take your money. Let's go.
Yeah. Which guys? It hasn't raised the – I mean, their farm system still ranked in the bottom third.
I'm talking about you're taking so much of the money like the Padres did that you're giving up lottery tickets.
I think a strategy in the reverse could work for the Cubs this winter where they take on contracts and get lottery tickets, honestly. But – that is definitely another way to – whether they're the ones taking the lottery tickets or giving them up, like, that could be something.
One of the things Jed keeps saying is that the way they rebuilt the first time wouldn't even work if they tried it now. And there's nuance to what he means in that. But to your point, Tim, I think there is – a blueprint, part of that blueprint, you could borrow this lottery ticket idea. Remember when they would pick a flip guy or two every year that they would go get?
Paul Mahalem? Upside,
yeah, Mahalem and Scott Feldman famously got him Jake Arrieta. Wow. You go get guys like that and upside guys that at the time – they were definitely going to trade those guys. They manipulated their schedules to get the most out of their statistics and make them look as valuable as possible, and then they flipped them. In this case, you could put together a few of those guys. If it all works out, maybe you add at the deadline and you got a team that can get to the playoffs. If it doesn't, you do what you did this year. It's just actually, it would be a very similar roster, a whole bunch of guys on 1 and 2 year deals, short-term guys, roster that can be blown up easily if that's the direction they go. But potentially with assets that you could get something back for. I don't like it because I don't think you're really truly trying to win if you do that. Something you could do. The other thing would be to go look at a bunch of 2 and 3 year contracts, upside guys, try to pull off a Giants type thing, which again, I don't think is I don't like that idea. I don't think that's really trying either.
No, I want some staying power. All right, we will get into more of this as things start to unfold. We'll see if they get a new hitting coach by next week. We'll see if they have a new catching instructor, game plan coordinator, whatever you want to call it. You guys have a great rest of your night, okay?
All right, Cam, take it.
Gordon, Tim, always fun with those guys. This is a wrap on another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. Free ATMs nationwide. For Gordon and Tim, I'm Cap. For Tony Gill, we will see you next time.